Kia ora tato. That was the start line of the Tarawera Ultra Marathon 100 mile race. I'm Matt Raymond.
And I'm Eugene Bingham.
This is Dirt Church Radio, interesting conversations with interesting runners.
Hey Eugene, how many things have you been panic buying from Wild Thing?
Yeah, I think, is it a truck pulling up?
It's an Air Force helicopter.
Anyway, I went on the VIP, I got hooked in for the VIP
the lounge
discount.
Yeah.
You know, because anyone can shop on the Wild Things website, and they've got a range of excellent stuff, but if you're the VIP member, get the ka-ching,
you get the discount. The discount. What did you buy?
Oh, what didn't I buy? I just clicked.
You just clicked on stuff?
I just clicked on stuff. I panic purchased. Started because when I was running on Sunday, you know how your bottles start to leak?
Yes.
Yeah, and a leaky bottle.
Right.
Didn't end there.
Need a new bottle?
Yeah, and it didn't end there.
Right.
Just keep going. Anyway, I've got a truck turning up, so I have to get going. Can we get going? But you can hook into these VIP savings if you sign up and use the code DCR2021.
All caps.
Yep. You get VIP membership for 15 months for the price of 12.
Yep.
And what happens is at the end of the month, Mal is happy. And
We're happy.
He sends us a little... as a way of saying thanks for people using the DCR code. So if you use the DCR 2021 code, you get something out of it.
We get something out of it. Mal gets something out of it.
Everyone's
you join
happy.
The community. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Do WildThings.club.
Mm.
Hey, Eugene, I've got a confession.
What's that?
You know, last week when you're like, there's a new pocket on my Zygos that you put your phone in. I was like,
oh, well, I said new pocket, it's been there all along, but I didn't know about it.
I found a new pocket and I was like,
you were going,
about that pocket.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that pocket. And I actually, by accident, when I was going out for a run, found it. And other people have been reaching out to us saying, we also did not take the time to properly investigate our Zygos pack when we purchased it.
Yeah.
And we have found that, you know, carrying our phone in our pants or in a belt around our waist like animals, where there's just that you can, a little repository, you can put it in there, keeps dry.
So
fantastic.
Last week I was telling you about this pocket and you're going, yeah.
No, it was dismissive.
Yeah. You were very dismissive of me, but it turns out you didn't know about it either. And I heard from someone else, no name's Petra, who said, this is embarrassing, but I've been using this vest every week and washing it and stuff, and I'd never noticed it either.
Amazing. There's actually someone posted up on our Instagram as we are recording this saying the same thing. Good news, ultraspire.co.nz have the Zygos 4 finally back in stock in the large size.
Mm.
The Ultra Flask 550 and the Soft Flask 500ml option, so you get a normal thing and then those Marathon de Sable kind of sticky outy straw.
Is that a drink bottle?
I think it is. Not an antenna.
I thought it was an antenna.
I think you're getting a bit wrapped up in this whole 5G vaccine thing.
No, it wasn't that. I thought people were like taking precautions for like not getting lost.
Right.
I thought it was a Garmin thing or something.
Two EPIRBs.
Yeah.
For a run around Riverhead.
No, but it's a, what is it?
It's a soft flask. Like they're coming into fat. They're the coming thing. It's the sticky outy thing.
Yeah.
Tom Wickram had them the other day.
Yeah. I'd be worried about falling over.
I put my eye out with it. Yep. Yeah, so the Zygos 4, large, finally back in stock. Fantastic pack, our go-to pack. And the Ultra Flask 550s and the Soft Flask are back in stock with any kind of option. You want to get your normal kind of one and then the weird poke your eye out.
Hey, look, if people want to get like decent advice rather than our advice where we don't even know about the pack until we...
Oh, I know about the pack.
We discover about the pack, you know, years later.
Yeah.
Where should they go?
Ultraspire.co.nz.
There you go.
It goes something like further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Oh, further, faster, there in Christchurch. Rocky is hairy and so is Badger. Jules is nice and Jacob is delicious. Go further, faster now.
Church Radio.
Back once again. On the weekly.
Yeah.
On the regular.
Yeah.
Lockdown Larry's. Right again. Episode.
It's party like it's 2020. Yep, episode 130. We made it just in the nick of time. Just.
Well, I mean, Tarawera just made it.
Yeah.
You know, just before the COVID alert levels were ramped up again, and what a trip that was! What a literal trip, and what a sort of what a metaphysical trip.
Absolutely.
So For those listening overseas or who haven't followed the news, the Tata Weta Ultra was on over the weekend, and the theme was gratitude, something that everyone from the race directors to the participants were talking about, the gratitude that we could hold this event at a time when a global pandemic was raging around the world. And then what happened?
Yeah, like we were literally driving home from the event on Sunday night, and bang, the alert came out. So there was community transmission in Auckland, and the word was, Auckland, you're going back into level 3 for the third time in 3 months, which is basically a lockdown, and the rest of the country going into level 2. So look, if Tata Weta had been a week earlier, it probably wouldn't have gone ahead, at least not in the shape that it was able to. I mean, far out. So close.
I was at the start line, or the finish line, actually. Sorry, again, brain of mush. I was at the finish line and saying to a couple of the event staff, they were scrolling through their phone. And you know, we've both been veterans of lots of having to manage lots of talk and lots of worry and lots of things. And I was like, look, let's just, you know, having been through a couple of close shaves before, let's just sit back and let this unfold and see what happens. And then by the time, you know, I got to the Waterview Tunnel, something flashes up that we're going into level 3. I mean, I was quite shocked. And you know, here we are.
So as it stands on Monday night, we're still in level 3 in Auckland. The rest of the country is in level 2. So it's really fingers crossed. God, I can't even speak today. As to what will happen for old Ghost Ultra on next weekend. We are really, really hoping, not least of all for the race organisers and everyone who's trained for that event, that things work out. Shot Over Moonlight Marathon, I think, is on this weekend as well. So, you know, I mean, obviously, there's lots of other reasons why we don't want to be in lockdown, but those are two good ones. But I reckon, enough of the COVID gloom, let's get back to what a weekend.
What a weekend indeed. I mean, it really was one for the books. We emceed.
Yep.
Some of us paced.
Mm-hmm.
We both run.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out.
Mm-hmm.
We caught up with heaps, hundreds of people. And how much sleep did you get?
So I had 2 hours on Saturday. I got up early on Saturday morning, drove down to Rotorua, got 2 hours under the stars in my sleeping bag at the Okataina aid station on Saturday night. And yeah, that was it. I did have to stop. I mean, you know, having talked to Dr. Tom about being sensible and stuff around ultras, I was very aware of how tired I may be on the way home, so I did pull over for a sleep on the way home.
Absolutely. I got 3 hours on the Friday night, and I got 2.5 hours on the Sunday morning. Between finishing the night shift and starting again. And then I was like you, I was straight back home after the, you know, we dropped the mic and we were off. But I must admit, a half a litre can of a certain energy drink that I never touch certainly helped me home, and I'm very happy to get home. But man, what a great weekend all around. Although, you know, it was strange, you know, we missed the overseas, not to take anything away at all, but we missed the overseas runners, our friends, our loved ones, our dears from overseas because of the border restrictions.
Yeah.
It was strange to be, as the mayor of Rotorua, Steve Chadwick, put it, an all New Zealand affair except for one Australian that we know of, or certainly people based here.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? There was a couple of people from overseas who had been here before the border closures and that sort of thing, but basically it was an Aotearoa only affair, but it certainly did not hamper the quality of the racing.
No, I mean, holy moly, what a smackdown. You know, you've got Ruth Croft and Rhys Johnston, Caitlin Fielder, Jonna Jackson, Talia Copestake and David Hounschmidt, and then Katie Wright and Matt Urbanski. I mean, we'll go through each of those races. We'll break it down and we'll play you some audio that we got. But I mean, how was your weekend, Eugene?
Yeah, it was one for the books. It was certainly, you know, so we emceed at the start line, which was cool, wasn't it? Did you enjoy
it? It was.
Yeah.
Did I enjoy it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the, you know, if I had a low point, those 5 or 6 hours I spent with my best friend doing something that, you know, we generally volunteer to do and soaking up love, that was a high point of the weekend, I must say. It was, it was fantastic, man, getting to hang out with you and see heaps of people and certainly, yeah, it was magic. But, I mean, what else did you get up to?
Yeah, so then I did a shift during the day, really, on Saturday, which was great to see so many people come across the finish line. And yeah, we'll talk about some of those races and stuff. But it was also good to see heaps of, you know, Dirt Church Radio people and other friends and so on. Saw a couple of people from work finish, which was great. You know, and other friends finish and come across the line. And just to see how the event ticked, that was great. So I did all that. And then basically I headed out to Auchtina and got ready for pacing duties.
What a thing. And I mean,
so I was paying it back to our friend Gene Andrews, who paced me in the 100 mile last year, and so he was running this year, and I'd said to him, I'll do it for you did such a great job with me last year. So I went out to Auchtina. So the deal is that at 120 kilometers you can get a pacer to help you home over the last 45 kilometers. That's the pacer arrangement they have at Tarawera. And so you go out to Auchtina and it's not exactly a party atmosphere, but there's a lot of people all there and the vibe is great. You've got runners coming in and all sorts of states. You see heaps of carnage, but heaps of courage as well, which is what you see at the finish line too, isn't it? You know, you see all of humanity on display, don't you? Those sorts of things.
Absolutely. But I heard you know, it wasn't all after 8 minutes and rosé for you. You know, you had a brush with, you know, people say that New Zealand is, you know, relatively light on the dangerous fauna, but I mean, you had a real brush.
What
happened?
I don't know if I can talk about it. It was just so terrifying. So, joking, we were coming in. So it ended up being by the time they got to Auchtina, it was Gene,
Smudge,
friend, yeah, Smudge, and our friend Saywon were together, and they had Tom, who you caught up with before the start, they had all decided that they were going to stick together. And so they came in and we set off, blah, 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 blah. And it was good fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm happy to talk. Should I talk a little bit more about that getting home? But I don't know. I mean, I really should get this thing out of the way, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were coming in the last couple of Ks to go through the Sulphur Flats. And then there's a whole, I don't know if you remember, you're very familiar with it, but there's a stretch where you're sort of running along a path and there's a bit of bush. God, words today. Oh, a bit of bush on
there's
the side.
It's like, to paint the picture, there's it's scrappy kind of, it's like manuka kanuka, real kind of wild, the wiry, that beautiful classic Kiwi scrub. And because it's hot and volcanic, you know, it's clinging to the point.
Yeah, yeah. So I was running along and Smudge was on the right-hand side. I was on the left-hand side of the trail. And suddenly, this pukeko just jumped out of the brush, and Smudge, who had run 160 plus kilometers at that stage, he managed to jump like a man who just got out of bed, jumped out of the way. The bird attacked me. Came straight at me.
I mean,
it was a very, very angry pukeko. Pukeko.
For those of you who perhaps are from overseas or have never seen a pukeko, I encourage you to Google it. It's like a sort of a blue and purple
chicken,
bush chicken. And did it get your wallet or?
Yeah, held me up, had a gun. No, it basically had a go at my legs. It was kind of funny, but kind of scary, you know.
Cause right.
It wasn't scary. It was just you got a fright because, you know, you're running along and you think you're taking your friends to the finish line and you're thinking happy thoughts. And then suddenly you've got a deranged poo kicker having a go at you.
Yeah. Very, I mean, I heard odd. Actually in the film, The Revenant, you know, how Leonardo DiCaprio, the character, he's attacked, he's mauled by a bear. I heard initially they actually wanted to put a Pukeko scene in there, but it was considered to be too graphic.
Oh, look.
So they downstepped it.
Yeah. I mean, the warnings you would have to put on that just, you know, make it, you know.
Does this mean I'm going to have to... Nuts. Does this mean I'm going to have to put a Pukeko on the next T-shirt?
That's right. Forget mountain lions. Absolutely. Absolutely. Poo geckos. Yeah, so that was kind of, you know, we laughed eventually. After I'd got over it, you know, the shaking had stopped, you know. It was very funny. It was very funny. What was most funny was how high Smudge jumped.
Yeah.
He was, honestly, the reflexes of that man after 160 kilometers of running was extraordinary. Yeah. He was out of there.
Goodness me. Well, it's that amygdala hijack, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the job of the Pacers to take one for the team. So.
Well, you literally did take one for the team.
I did. Yeah. But the pacing was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was, you know, those guys, they toughed it out. It was a really tough day because of the heat that had really got to lots of people. And there was quite a bit of carnage this year, wasn't there, in terms of people pulling out, including some of our friends. And these guys, they just really, really... had to just knuckle down and get it done. And I was really proud of them. And they did an extraordinary job. And it was such a delight to come across finish line. And you were on MC. You had the mic.
Yeah. You called us home. I did. And that was one of the true... I mean, it was such a... I use the word privilege a lot because I genuinely feel a sense of gratefulness for, you know, my life. We've both done the Tarawera 100... before, you know, I haven't done the 100 miles, I've done the 100K a couple of times, you've certainly, and we've done it a while ago, and then sort of returning, it really did feel like a sort of coming a full circle, and you know, being asked to do this, but I was very nervous, you know, and even down to the point you get to, you know, people don't realize that when this race started, it was Paul,
yeah,
and some very amazing volunteers. Now it's turned into this massive beast, you know, 630 volunteers, God knows how many paid staff, huge, you know, thousands of people both spectating and on the course. And when I got there, I must admit, I felt, you know, quite overwhelmed. And even getting back to, you know, the house I was staying at, which was right up, it's called Tihio Tonga, and, you know, staying with this group of just hardened event professionals who were just stoked, and you know, like it was something that I really wanted to deliver on, and you know, having to start a race, you know, that's an awesome privilege, and it was amazing to sort of, you know, be on the line for, you know, start the 50K, be on the line for most of the day with you, get a couple of hours rest. In fact, I went for a run because I was just so hopped up that, you know, I spent most of my time off running, which I don't know if that was the best thing to do, but it was amazing.
Yeah, of course it was.
And I don't mean that in the sense of, oh, I went running, but, you know, I got out onto the course and got to see some of the, you know, I got to see some of the front of the pack for the 100K and the back of the pack for the 50K and give some encouragement and cheer people along in a place that I, you know, was very fond of. And then, you know, getting to do it overnight, you know, like being there overnight to see people come through and the emotional highs, you know, like there were some devastating moments of just, you know, I'll use two terms of aroha and afi, like love and support. This man, you know, brought his wife over at one point. She was doing the 102K and it was early hours of the morning and Ali and I are there and it's a bit quieter, you know, but it ramps up. And then he did this haka for her. He turned around and just did this haka for his wife and his two children were there. And she was crying and I was crying and Ali was, it was just... And it just kept on, you know, it was like climbing this hill. You think, gosh, when is it going to, oh, there's the crest. And then it was just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then to see you guys at the end, you know, like Tom Wickram, Harry, you know, the 100 mile runners come in, the last of the 50k runners, and there at the end, it was an incredible event and an incredible experience. Just fantastic.
Oh, it really is. And it was kind of odd, because when you join a group of runners, just pacing, I mean, the finish line was extraordinary. One thing I do want to say is, look, I'm really sorry to anyone who I missed coming across the line, or I mangled their name. Honestly, there were so many runners coming across the line at some stage, and we had this iPad that people's name would flash up, and it was just going off in the middle of the day, wasn't it?
It was hard
to keep up, and my eyes were going cross-eyed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's wrong with my eye. I've got a
dodgy eye. We did an excellent job, and you know, we were trying our best.
That's all you could do. But it went so bananas, didn't it? But I was going to say that when you join a group of runners who have been running together for 120 kilometers, and then you jump in, you're fresh, you know, you haven't run at all. It's 4 a.m. They've been a gang, and you sort of come in you sort of take up a bit of an observer role at first. And so it was really interesting to see the ups and downs of their moods, and everyone was in good spirits, but sometimes people just go quiet and go within themselves, and that's okay, they can do that. But sometimes you've got to kind of get them back out of themselves and get them, you know, get them back going again. Then you would come into the aid stations, and the aid stations at Tarawera are really something, aren't they? They're extraordinary and just
amazing.
The energy lift that you get from that alone, it was extraordinary. When we'd come out of the aid station, they'd be off. That, you know, people I was running with, the guys that I was running with, they'd just be off, because not only have you had some nutrition, you've got your bottles refilled and that sort of stuff, but you've drawn some of that energy from the aid station. When we came out of Miller Road, which is the long section, you've had a giant, you know, you've had a big climb.
Western Okataina.
Yep, a 6 kilometre climb up to the Trig, and then you've got to go navigate the ridge line. The sun had come up on that section, but still everyone was really tired and a bit sort of drained and like, oh, we've still got so far to go. We came out, Paul Charteris was there.
Oh, how
the
good.
The legend, Paul Charteris. And it was funny because Gene had earlier been saying, because Paul popped in at Blue Lake when I came through last year, and Gene was saying, how good was that to see Paul? Oh, he's such a legend. So for those of you who don't know, I mean, Paul is Mr. Tarawera. Go back and listen to episode 1 of Dirt Church Radio. That's how high esteem we hold him. We got him on as our first ever guest. He started off the race, and as you said, it was just, you know, couple of runners and this guy organizing the race out of his garage. So he's just an amazing guy, isn't he? And he came to the aid station, and it just gave them such a massive lift. You could see the volunteers were really buoyed by him being there as well. And it's just those little moments, isn't it, that you witness in a race like that.
Absolutely. And what he and you know, he really does, he brings that sort of, and I mean, with this, with all respect, that almost komatua role, you know, this is his race, and it doesn't matter that he doesn't own this race anymore, that he, you know, he is integral to this. And when you, you know, sort of, one of the things that he said, and one of the things that Kerry Suter, who I'm sure a few of you know Kerry, you know, he's a force of nature as well, he said to me at the start, you know, he's sort of grabbed me by the shoulder, and he's like, everyone who comes across the line, it's an experience for them, you know, they've got to feel that, and they really hammered that home. But Paul, no, if you've done it before, he knows your name, he knows who you are, and it's just, he does, he brings that sort of, that sense of mana and authenticity to the event that is really, really fantastic, to the point, you know, where, and we'll get to the racing soon, but when we were doing, you were out on course and they were doing the prize giving. So what they do is if a runner came into the shoot, we had a little, they'd stop the prize giving. So the runner who was finishing the 100, and it was 102 kilometre athletes and 100 mile athletes at that point, the runner would get the entire people that were there for the prize giving and the elites clapping them over the line, you know, and it's just so special. There's nothing worse than, you know, finishing an event and people's attentions elsewhere. So,
yeah.
And lots of love for Dirt Church Radio.
Yes.
And lots of kindness
and
support, Afi, Araha, everything. Thank you so much. Everyone who, and I don't know about you, but I didn't have a single person come up to me and say, oh, I'm going to put this in a greatest run ever. I think everyone knows. They would have just seen us or heard our voices and gone, I'm going to write that down.
Never said it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were also plenty of people in Dirt Church Radio shirts, old and new. And you even delivered one to Katie Wright. She ordered one last week.
Yeah,
she messaged me and said, are there any left? And I said, yep, I'll get
There's not too many left
and,
now.
So there you go. Look, I think we should get into the race, shouldn't we? Let's get into
the race. Let's break
it down. All right. Dirt Church Radio. Okay, let's start with the 21K. So, huge field. Huge
Massive.
Field. Yeah, 900 runners. And heaps of first-timers too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to that. I think that's one thing that we, and we all said it in earlier episodes, like last year, you know, we were like, the bike paths, the footpaths have never been busier than during lockdown. And people laced up their shoes for the first time. And lots of people started to run.
Yep.
Absolutely. And lots of people who started to run ended up doing Tarawera.
Yeah.
And all the distances. So just fantastic. I mean,
yeah, I had a couple of friends, Michael and Elia, who took up running last year and both did the 50K, which was
amazing.
Just poof. But the 21K too, there was so many people who were first timers and lots of people who'd never run trails before. And boy, they would have been in for a bit of a shock because, you know, that course is no joke.
No, there's nothing at Tarawera that you would consider an easy course. You're looking at 700 meters of elevation and some tough, tough trails.
So at the pointy end of the field, it was some really exciting racing in the women's race. You could have thrown a blanket over the top three, couldn't you?
Absolutely. A ding-dong, as you say.
Yeah, yeah.
So Talia, in the top...
Oh, sorry, yeah, go. Sorry. You go. Yep.
My mouse slipped. So again, you know, to break the fourth wall, we are in separate... We're doing this remotely.
Yeah.
Because we're in lockdown. So we're maintaining our bubbles.
Yes.
Did you scan into your studio when you came into?
Yeah, of course.
He's got retina scanning though. But anyway, it's very high tech. Anyway, Talia Kopstick, she won the event in 1:51.18 and just 19 seconds back to Eva. Gosh, if I butcher this, I apologize. Wisterpeak and Angela Hancock only 12 seconds further back in third.
Amazing.
Eh?
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, so good. So Talia said afterwards that she didn't think she was going to be able to hold on towards the end, but she certainly did. And she's only been running for a couple of years herself, and she was enjoying attacking races, and she sure did. Okay, and the men, well, I mean, they really should have just filled this resource in before the race even started.
So Dr. David Hounschmidt won again, back-to-back victories, and I guess the... you know, the New Zealand health system's gain is also Rotorua's gain because all the Strava segments that he destroys on the regular, he's moving away. So this was
special.
Yeah. Yeah. And he came across, he blistered across in 1:24.51, which is four minutes off his record in 2020. And he had blood down his legs. And I was like, David, what's up with that? And, you know, he's like, oh, no, that was from a race last week. he reopened the wounds. Amazing. He said he was contemplating going up distance, but he's doing Ironman next month, so he decided not to. And second was Jake Wilkinson in 1:30.48, and third was Mike Robinson in 1:35.49.
Yeah, I mean, David, you know, if anyone's listened to any episodes of... You could just pick a random episode of Dirt Church Radio and there would have been a victory by David Hounschmidt in a race when there. You know, it's just...
Absolutely.
So regular. What a racer. And, yeah, you caught up with him with your MC hat on after the race.
Absolutely. You clog our feet every week with winning stuff. So congratulations on continuing the trend. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good. Love that course. Yeah. Sorry for messing up your feet every week. Yeah, I've been meaning to apologise.
How is that run? I noticed you've got a bit of claret on your legs and you're still.
I think that's from another race, actually. Yeah.
You're still bleeding from another race you did. And
It was a ridiculous race, peak to peak in Te Rua.
Yeah.
With the wee swim in the middle, and you had to jump over coral and things. Yeah. That was that one. Yeah. This was a little bit less gnarly, only a little bit.
Yeah. And how was it out there today?
Great, yeah, amazing trails. I love this place, yeah. Lived here for a year. Can't beat this for trail running worldwide. Yeah. So.
And think about it, and I've said this to everyone who has come across, but it's a good thing to think about. You have won the 21K today, and this isn't happening anywhere else in the world at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about it all week. We're just so lucky, aren't we? Yeah, you just pinch yourself. And well done, organizers, for putting this on. It's incredible effort, and like you guys know what trail running is all about, from the trails, the ethos, Paul Chartres, a little speech at the start. Like, yeah, no, I felt wrong. It's amazing.
Fantastic, good effort, and congratulations.
Sorry, I'm all sweaty.
That's right, man. So am I.
Right, the 50K.
Yeah, absolutely, the 50 kilometer, and that started at Tapuia, and that was the. I got up to watch the 100-mile race start, and I got up so I could record some audio for the show, but I'd also got up to just kind of take a sneaky look and see how Kerry emceed and get the tone and sort of what to, you know, how's this going to work? What does this look like? So I was nervous when I, you know, caught up with Ali at Tapuia, which is just an absolutely fantastic geothermal area in Rotorua, and man, the atmosphere was fantastic. You know, the sun was, the race started at 7, so the sun had come up and it was overcast and still. And, you know, there was between 850 and 840 runners, depending on who you sort of talk to, and 40% first-time runners.
Wow.
So 40% of people, yeah. Absolutely. So we had the mayor there, Steve Chadwick, so she was great, and It was just a really incredible start. The amount of it was a really amazing vibe to the race. It was a big field. There was the pointy end was very, very pointy. You know, some fast people, and you know, with the expectation that you know, course records were absolutely on the line. However, the vibe was just relaxed and. Just this joyous kind of, we're all doing this, we're all going to get to run in some absolutely pristine environments. And it was amazing. And and what a day. And I mean, do you want to tell us about Caitlin Fielder?
Yeah, I mean, Caitlin Fielder, you know, what an athlete. And she came to Tarawera last year, won the 50K, then underwent serious hip surgery straight afterwards, and which required 7 months of rehab. She couldn't even walk at some point. And, you know, but it just didn't seem to stop her. On Saturday, she went on to win in a new record time of 3:59.12, and she was second overall. The only person who beat her was Jonathan Jackson, and she said afterwards that she'd have been gutted if she'd went in over 4 hours, but there was just no danger of that with her sprint finish. I mean, she must have seen the clock and just thought, right, because she was gunning it, wasn't she? It was like, whoa, everyone get out of the way.
yeah, she was amazing. She really was like a bat out of hell, and you know, I just want... The comparison between, you know, Jono and Caitlin, you know, like both of them stoked, both of them incredible. You know, Jono, he was in the hurt box and had to have a sit down. Caitlin was, you know, high-fiving her mates and like absolutely just.
Yeah, we carried on, you know, after she'd come through, we were talking away, you know, carrying on our duties, which I should say, sorry, I think we've kind of haven't made it clear, but so Kerry Suter and Ali Pottinger were emceeing as well, as they've always done at the race. They're sort of so ingrained to the race.
Absolutely.
So much part Definitely. Of the race. They're just unbelievable, and it was a real honor to watch them at work and see the community that they're so much part of and that they feed into. But anyway, we were carrying on, and off to the side of the finish line was like an hour later or something, was Caitlin still, I don't even think she'd left the area, still chatting away to people, casual as, like she'd been out for a, you know, slow sort of 20-minute run or something. It was unbelievable. She was just, phenomenal run. And, you know, hats off to her. So, look, Jonathan Jackson is well known as a speedy road runner. And
we have to talk about the other women who.
We didn't talk about that because I got distracted talking about Kerry and Ellie. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yes, you're right.
We are running on. I think, you know, we have to, you know, we will. You know, we will say aroha mai, we are going to be digressive, we're running on fumes, and, you know, I think if it was any other circumstance, we'd probably be like, let's have a lie-in, but, you know, Dirt Church Radio is, if nothing else, for the people. So second was Tamara Clark in 4:33:17, which is an incredible result for a 50K like that, and third was Genevieve Coffey in 4:41:15.
Yeah, again, great times on a course like that. Extraordinary.
Massive.
Yeah. Right. Can I go back to if I missed anything else? So he's known as a roadrunner, really, but he did trounce the field at the Grunt down at Kepler last year, and in the 50K he was dominant again, even though it was his first ultra marathon. He won in 3:46:51, which was 13 minutes ahead of Caitlin, 26 minutes ahead of the second placed male and third place getter Daniel Shaw in 4:12:40, and third was Matthew Payne in 4:15:19.
I mean, that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. He's just outside the course record.
He was hunting it down, wasn't he? But he didn't hunting quite it down, make it. Didn't quite make it. His dad was there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Near the finish line, and he was sort of watching the clock, and he knew that it was going to be close, but it was just outside. But, you know, Jono, he was running solo for most of the races. He took off from the start, and he talked about later about how weird it was to come past the start of the 21K field at Blue Lake, and they just erupted in noise. Apparently, as he came past. So he said it was like silent, 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 huge noise, silent, silent, silent.
And the great thing about Tarawera is all the races, don't they? They have mainly for that last part past Blue Lake. It's the same course.
Yeah, that's right.
Everyone's running that, you know.
Yeah. And you caught up with him afterwards and had a chat with him when he was sitting on the ground, didn't you?
I did.
Mm. He was in good spirits, but he was, like you said, he was pretty knackered.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just thinking. If we had some audio there, but obviously
we don't have that audio, unfortunately. But.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, he basically came in. He's a very lithe, lean, you know, compactly muscled. Looks like just a very very fast the very fast runner he is. And he came in and he basically had to have a sit down. It was stinking hot already at that time, you know, not quite 11 o'clock, and he. He said, you know, he was in the hurt box. He really was. And he was chasing the course record, running solo, didn't know, you know. I mean, you get your splits, don't you, until the last aid station at Redwood. So then you know, from that point you're pinning it, you got your ears pinned back, and he was stoked, but yeah, he said his legs were pretty sore.
Yeah. And he shot you down pretty quickly, didn't you, when you asked about was he going to go up in distance?
Yeah, he was like, no, not a chance.
No.
Which is fantastic.
That's
and we have
great.
To
right. Yeah.
And we have to say, and one of the things also about this race is that there was no differentiation.
No.
So you run as you run as you run, and we want to make that clear too. I have
absolutely
as much, and I got as emotional about 21K runners as I did about 100-mile runners, as I did
absolutely
about 50K runners and 102 runners. It was just fantastic. You're lacing up, you're getting out, you've got our respect.
Totally. So the 102K, I mean, wow, it was particularly exciting for me because I was on the mic during the afternoon, and we were getting updates from the course that showed Michael Voss, who won the 50K last year. Didn't he set the record last year?
Yes, absolutely.
And he was stepping up to the 100K this year, and there was a lot of talk about he was going to go for it. And the updates we're getting from the course showed he's in control and he's going well. And, you know, it looked like he was sort of, you know, controlling the race. But Ruth Croft was always there or thereabouts in every update that we got, and you just had this feeling that something amazing is about to happen. You know?
Look, I'm going to say this, and I called it from the start. It was my firm belief, and it came to pass. I always thought that she would be victorious, and just, you know, and it's that thing, isn't it? It's... And she talks about it, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. She talks about comparison being the death of joy. It's like, sure, you might have a faster marathon time, but there's so many other variables that go into racing. And unfortunately, you know, Michael Voss was in the lead, and he got sick. you know, which happens. And this is the thing, traveling at that speed, you know, those margins are razor thin anyway, right? So
absolutely.
Goodness me. I was lucky enough to see Ruth. I got home, left the 102K in Kerry in your hands and took off home for a rest. Ali and I we tapped out.
Clocked and
I got
off. Yep.
I got home and I just had ants in my pants. I couldn't relax. And so I thought, I'll go for a little run. And I went up over Tokorangi Pa, which is a famous, people have talked about it on their greatest runs ever. It's a famous road in the Whakarewarewa forest. And it was beautiful. And I came up to the turning point. So I was running towards Tarawera, towards the Blue Lake. And there are these three marshals there, these guys, they're amazing. They were being so kind to the 50K, the people at the back of the pack. And they turned to me and they go, oh, I said, how's it going? They're like, oh, you know, the lead 102 man hasn't come through yet. And as the dude said it, Ruthie popped up over the hill. In the distance, and I've got a video of it. I might bang it up actually on the show notes. And she came down the hill just looking so strong and composed, and the marshals were like, "What?" And cheering, and I was cheering, and it was incredible to watch. It was just so good. And from that, I mean, she was
well. She'd taken the lead about halfway through, and
absolutely,
she knew those splits for Courtney Dewalter's record, and she had them down pat. And so she was watching the splits at each aid station, you know, and sort of mid afternoon, she just stormed home to a massive reception. It felt electric at the finish line.
What was that? I enjoyed being out on the course. I wish I'd got to see her. It was fantastic. Oh,
it just erupted. Everyone was just so happy for her, and plenty of tears going on. Martin, her partner, was in tears.
He's a gorgeous man.
Yeah, it was just she was first time overall, the first time that's happened at Tarawera, and she smashed the record. 9:21.03, which was an amazing, amazing run.
It's the first time it's happened on
7 minutes.
Yeah, so 7 minutes off Courtney DeWalter's, but it's also the first time that's happened on an Ultra Trail World Tour race.
World Tour. Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. Incredible. I mean, you know, let's just say that again slowly. She took 7 minutes off Courtney DeWalter's course record. Extraordinary, extraordinary run. Kanoka Izumi was second home in 10:12.09, which, you know, fantastic result as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the remarkable Sue Crowley, you know, I think she's done every distance at Tarawera, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe the 21 to go. But she got a huge cheer from the hometown crowd who were all supporting her. And she came home third in 10:56.28. You mentioned that she posted... She comparison is the death of joy, and Ruth, that is, and she was sort of, you know, she wanted to reflect that she got a lot of attention for the fact that she came first, and she sort of wondered what would have happened if she wasn't the first home, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
what's a legitimate question?
Absolutely. And I mean, if you don't mind, what she said is, you know, after letting the excitement and gratitude of Tarawera sink in, I'm feeling a little confused. The amount of noise that my win has generated in the media is overwhelming. They talked about trail running on national news, which is rare in New Zealand. But I can't help wonder if my performance of winning in my field and breaking the race record would have generated so much attention had not any man run faster than me on the day. Sadly, probably not, you know.
Mm.
Which is really, it's amazing food for thought. You know, she went on to say, don't get me wrong, how grateful she was, how hard she'd worked. And she said, I just hope that female accomplishments can be recognized and spoken of as such without needing to compare them with men's ones.
Absolutely.
And what did she say? You know, she backed up her famous comment from Old Ghost Road, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah. When she crossed the finish line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she crossed the finish line. And Martin, we got Martin to interview her, and Martin was about to cut up. He just sort of thrust the mic in her face and, you know, towards her and said, what do you want to say? And she went, well, at least I wasn't dooted. It was just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. You know, you think of what she's come through. You know, she returned to New Zealand just before Christmas, and you remember in our Christmas episode, if you go back and listen to that, she was staying at the Sedima in Rotorua, where her and Martin basically wore out the car park and broke
and killed the treadmill.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
So she came running past the Sedema. You came past it on the way back into the finish line, which was a nice little touch. It's her second time at the 102 at Tarawera after a ding-dong battle with Ruby Muir in 2015. And it's just another cap to go with her. I mean, astonishing list of victories and podiums. You know, first overall at Old Ghost last year. She's won the last two 55-kilometre OCC races at UTMB week, and she's got two 42-kilometre Mont Blanc marathon victories in her CV already. You know, she finished top eight at Seoul Marathon to claim a world champs qualifier, and I think she's about to head off to Christchurch to run the marathon there.
And she's gunning for Western States as well, isn't she?
Yeah, I heard is that right?
Yep, is right. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
and we got some audio, didn't we?
Really interesting. We got some audio from a conversation with the Ironman staff afterwards. Here it is.
Congratulations, Ruth. 102 winners today. Tell us a little bit about how the race went, how it rolled out.
I tried to start a bit conservatively, but it's pretty tough because the first 30k is just so fast. And then tried to put the hammer down a bit at 31k, and then had a good bunch of guys that I was running with. And then tried to get a gap, like run where the boat ride was, and then suffered a bit after that to Muller Road, and then kind of pulled it together until the end.
Yeah, it looked like you were dragging a group of guys around the first 40Ks.
Yeah, well, they were dragging me around, actually, and it got a bit frustrating when they're setting the pace and it feels like it's just a bit too fast. But no, it was always good to have a bit of company out there.
And then you went through a few of the men over across Western North Carolina. You went through Michael and a couple of other guys.
Yeah, I passed one of the...
Just Michael.
The other guy as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was struggling with cramps, and then I passed Michael just before Miller Road.
So
And what does it mean to you to A, take out a Ultra World Tour race, hasn't been many of those for a while, and also to take it out as the first overall?
I'm stoked, yeah. It's just a good day. Not much more to say.
Awesome. That'll do.
Sweet. Thank you.
Right, well, in the men's, it was... There was just floods of tears amongst our fellow MCs, Kerry and Ali. One of their runners, local boy, Reece Johnson, he, you know, word came through that he had taken the lead in the men's race, and they were just beside themselves. They were so excited but nervous. And as he got closer and closer, it looked like it was going to come true. So when he eventually came across the line, Kerry was like, "You're going to have to call this. I can't. I'm just going to be a wreck." And sure enough, he was, and everyone was. So for Reece, it was a dream come true. You know, he won the men's title in 9:39:29. He said he just couldn't believe it when he hit the lead, and he kept waiting for someone to take it off him, but he hung on, you know. Yeah.
I had the pleasure of seeing Reece out on the course. I mean, I don't know Reece very well. He's done Riverhead Rampage before. He's a lovely man. And I saw, you know, the tagline for it should be Tarawera Ultra Marathon, Kerry Suter will burst into tears. you know, he was weeping hours before he finished.
Yeah.
And when I saw him on Tokorangi Park, I was like, you know, you've already made Kerry cry. And he was like, oh, you know, just sort of, of course I did. You know, but he was moving so strong.
He was. And, you know, in the end, the top 3 miles were 6 minutes apart. Imagine that. You know, Chris Sanston was second in 9:42:46, just 3 minutes behind Reece, and then Simon Cochrane was third in the men's in 9:45:06. So, you know, astonishing race, and so happy for Reece. You know, he's had it pretty tough. He broke a rib in a mountain bike crash last year and really messed up his shoulder. And, you know, he said, "I don't really have any business even being on the start line," but there he was, and what a race, you know. Here's some audio from him afterwards.
Got any bones on my face?
No, you don't. You look good.
Yeah, you're fine. Right.
Yeah.
102K men's champion today. Must have been a good race out there. How'd you feel? How'd it go?
Unbelievable to take it out. Like, just a dream come true, to be honest. Yeah, so many things had to go right for me. So that's COVID, obviously, one real shame. All those internationals right here, you know, like, I love seeing them all come through. So obviously that went in my favour, and then so many Kiwis here that should have taken it out, but they had a bad day, you know. A lot of people, it was their race to lose, so couldn't believe, found myself in the lead, and I was just sort of waiting for someone to sneak up on me, and it never happened. It was from the Redwoods, about 5 to 7k to go. Knew that it was pretty close, so just gave it everything I could, and full spin for that last bit. So yeah, also, so stoked, man, to take it out.
Awesome. Yeah, you looks like you were going pretty hard from the beginning. Did you have any tactics or plan, or
no?
Sort of
it wasn't. To be honest, I was in a pretty chill pace. The main group I was with early on, I felt like they were just sitting a little bit slower than where I wanted to be. So just slowly mooched off from them, and then half of them pulled me back in. I think it was about 30k, and then ran with them for a bit, and then they pulled out. And it was a bit faster than I wanted to be, so I just let them go. So I just did my own thing all day. Eastern on Tarawera, and then Eastern on Katona. That's sort of the stuff I like running in, they're more technical. So pulled up to Ruth and that, and then and she got in front of her for a little bit, and then she pulled me back in, but just before the boats, so we crossed pretty close. But it was Western the hill. I was just up there. I just did my own thing again. I ran. I was pretty chilled up there. I just wanted to save myself for later on. So there was a lot of hiking. I wasn't too fazed on trying to push hard or anything. And got to the top, still in second, and then old Vossi, unfortunately, man, it was a shame to see him. Had a bit of a blowout in his legs. I don't know if he did his sort of running. He did look good, man. Real shame, but it was like a dream come true when I came past him, and then just hung in there.
Yeah, you had a bit of a crash a couple months ago. Tell us about the comeback from that.
That was unreal. So that was a mountain bike, broken rib. Shoulder, messed up shoulder, so I shouldn't be here, to be honest. I should not be here. Massive shout out to Squadron team, that Alan Carey, they got me here. It was a lot of painful training with running with the rib and the shoulder, and I was just trying to keep my K's up and push through it and let things heal, and luckily they healed in time. So yeah, I was stoked.
And you're a Rotorua local?
Yeah,
Rotorua. What does it mean to you to win the Tarawera Ultra Marathon?
Oh, it's massive. Like I say, if there's any event in this country I want to put my name on, that's it. It's a no-go. Yeah, dream come true.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Cheers, man.
Nice one, bro.
Okay, the big dog, the 100-mile race,
Amazing.
You actually took the recorder out to the start at Tapuia, and here's a bit of audio you captured at the start line.
It's 3:30 in the morning on Saturday, and I am just pulled up to Tapuia, which is the famous geothermal area, one of the famous geothermal areas in Rotorua, and I am here to witness the start of the 100-mile race of the 2021 Tarawera Ultra Marathon. It is mild, and there's some very, very keyed up people and their support crews wandering around. So let's go and see what we can see. So it's always the truth that you go further away from home and you find someone who lives just around the corner. I'm here with Tom Wickram, who is about to toe the line at his first ever 100-mile race. Tom, how are you feeling?
Matt, I'm very excited, a little bit nervous, but I've got to trust in everything I've done. I've got to trust in the training plan and the year that I've done, and enjoy the moment, really. It's not too cold, it's a little bit overcast. Conditions don't get any better, but no, ecstatic, can't wait. It's going to be a cool journey.
I mean, it's not an understatement to say you've transformed yourself in terms of the amount of running that you've undertaken. How has the process gone?
I think I started about 2 years ago. I wanted to get back into a bit of running and just to see what happened. I did about two or three runs a week and built on that. And then mid last year, I decided to try and get into the ultra world, and I met a few guys from the Dirt Church Radio. Tom, yourself, Eugene and Jean, and just got chatting to them and thought, right, what can I do this year, and I had an inkling to try and do a big ultra, and the boys were keen to do the Tarawera, and I thought, let's do it, let's get into it, and Gene and Tom were there, and I said, which one should I do, the 100K or the 100-miler? They both had different answers, and I've decided to go for the bigger one, so we'll see how we go.
And I mean, this, you've undertaken some quite hefty endurance endeavours in the past. I mean, you rode across the Indian Ocean. Are you more nervous now, standing at Tapuia waiting to start the 100-mile, or when you were about to start your row across the Indian Ocean?
Matt, it's weird. I've been talking to Bex the last few days about it, and the Indian Ocean row was 82 days in total, and I think I'm more nervous now than I was then, which is weird. I think the Indian Ocean I had no idea about really what I was going to get into, but potentially 30 hours out in the Tarawera Ranges is a lot more daunting than the Indian Ocean at this precise moment.
Oh man, I'm sure that you'll go well. Trust your process, and it's good to see you, brother, and we'll catch you at the end.
Thank you. Cheers, buddy. Cheers.
I am with Kirk Bates, Gene Andrews and Simon Forsey, starting at the 100-mile start. How are you feeling, Simon?
Very nervous, mate. Excited, though.
Me. Excellent. Nice to see someone.
Is that enough?
That's enough, man. That's enough. I'll look at these. I'll get out of the way, but yeah, have a good run.
This smells awesome.
Have you smelled Saewon?
No. Saewon, come here. Apparently you smell really well. Yeah. How are you going?
I'm all right.
That's good. Are you ready?
Hope so.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, brother. You have a good run, and we'll see you at the finish.
And I think the theme for today is gratitude. The gratitude that we can do this thing. And of course, that understanding that nowhere in the world is having ultra marathons and massive crowd races. I can tell you now, everything is postponed or cancelled in Q1 except for this. So you are very, very lucky. And you're about to do something that isn't just special, but it's also unique. Tarawera Ultra Marathon is a 100-miler like no other.
Standing at the start, and Kerry Suter, the MC, is running through the sort of pre-race routine, and we'll get ready for the cultural performance now.
Oh! about to do a 100-mile run, 165 kilometres through some of the most beautiful countryside on earth. For many of you, this is a culmination of an incredible journey to get here. And as you stand on the start line, think of everything that's brought you here. Your own courage, your own determination, your friends, your family. Many of you are racing for many, many different purposes. And I admire the fact that you are standing on the start line. Only a very small percentage of the population will ever, ever be here. And I really admire what you're doing right now and what you're going to do. Runners, have a wonderful day out there. Support yourselves, support each other. Thank the aid station volunteers, they're out there for you. And as Kerry said, the theme of this year's event is gratitude. And we are so grateful that this event can go ahead. And we are so grateful for you, the runners, being out here. You have the mana, you have the strength, you have the courage, you have the determination. And when that poanamu is placed on your neck at the finish line, that is only the culmination of your journey. Runners, we salute you and we wish you well on your journey today.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Come on, Tom!
1.
Tomorrow, and just like that, they're off.
Incredible. Supporters, just take care out there today. Obviously, there's busy roads, there's busy intersections, it's difficult getting in and out of.
It's quite an odd feeling. It goes from a hive of activity to a virtual ghost town in Tapuia, if you've not been. It's one of the more grander places to start a race. It's one of the more grander places, full stop, but to start a race, and you've got, you know, nearly 200 very keyed up people, very at the pinnacle of their training, and they've just shot off into the darkness for what will be, for some of them, you know, close to 30 hours or over 30 hours of running through the forest. So, and there we go. So the day's festivities have started, and I'm going to go and try and get some sleep now before I'm back in the same place in a couple of hours to start the 50k race. So, exciting times.
Rightio, so after that, you did go back and get some sleep after all? No? You got some
breakfast?
No,
not
anyway.
Really. I sort of...
And then we caught up. Yeah.
I went back and I made a cup of coffee and sort of got ready for the day and just sort of reflected on, yeah, on the intensity and, again, the magic of that start.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge, the karanga, yeah, and all of that. It was...
Yeah, extraordinary. Wow. But the point I was going to make was you went back, had some breakfast... I arrived down, we did our things, blah, 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 blah. You know, 24 hours later, you know, well, 36 hours later, some of those people were still running.
It was from woe to go. They were yeah,
mind-blowing, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. And what? Look, at what a race. What a race. And let's start with the woman, because what a ding-dong battle.
So I would just like to state for the record that I have been nominated as Katie Wright's official talisman of fortune, her good luck charm, and apparently I'm going to Tennessee now as well.
Excellent. Yeah.
She'll need a bigger suitcase for me to fit in.
But why.
Yeah, because she won. And Katie, yeah.
But she won at...
She won at,
when you were there as well.
Yeah, she did, didn't yeah. She?
There you go. Yeah,
she won at the 100 miles.
Just decide that you were her good luck charm.
She won at the Riverhead Relapse.
There's evidence.
Yes, there is good. Mm. So the last, you know, she won at the Riverhead Relapse, the last person standing event that I had the privilege to be one of the race directors at. And I mean, oh my gosh, the first woman in the world to do so. Yeah. She, you know, 2 years ago, she turns up on the line, her first 100-mile race, not really having much of an idea about what it was all about, and came back last year. She paced her mate Emma Bainbridge and absolutely stonked at home, and she kept you running scared, didn't she?
Matt, she did. We were getting updates because Emma was closing in on me, And, you know, we knew that she had Katie pacing for her. And it was, I was just looking over my shoulder the whole time waiting for her and for Emma and Katie to come over the horizon. And then this year, basically, she went through that experience. So, you know, it was down to her and Fiona Havice and Dawn Tuffrey for the 2021 edition. And wow, you know, so Katie had a malfunction in her watch. So she kind of flew blind all day. But she slowly made her way through the field as she's wont to do. And then moved up and finally took the lead from Fiona just past Miller Road. So she'd left Auchtina 6 minutes behind Fiona, and you thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And sure enough, just past Miller Road, she took the lead.
It's just
astonishing.
Astonishing. So, you know, she pushed hard and in the end, you know, crossed her and her pacer Ellie in 20 hours, 90 minutes and 19 seconds. And Fiona was just over a minute back in 20 hours, 20 minutes and 42 seconds. Dawn Tuffrey, in her first 100 miler, she was third in 22:28.55, which is astonishing, an astonishing debut. And just
absolutely,
when you're looking at those three human beings, you're thinking, oh my gosh, that could have been anyone's. But I mean, I need to tell you what it was. You know, there's finishes and there's finishes, and you'd expect a half marathon to have a finish 90 seconds. You know, we got some video. Ellie and I were, you know, we were there. It was, gosh, what time? So it's, if we're thinking 20 hours, it's just after midnight. You know, it's just on midnight. There we go. And we get this video of Katie and her pacer at the last aid stations, which is at the Redwoods. And there's this massive sail under the Redwoods. It's just absolutely beautiful, and the aid stations in there, and they shined like disco lights onto the sail at night, and it was lit up like a nightclub. And there's this human being with these poles just running. It looked like someone being chased through a nightclub, throwing stuff out of her pack, like throwing, like jettisoning any sort of weight, and just eating it out of the state, just running like a bat out of hell out of the station.
Because she knew that Fiona was just behind her.
Well, she was not. Fiona was 6 minutes behind her. So at that point,
She knew that she was behind her, and she knew that Fiona was going to run like a skinned cat on those roads and was fast.
That's right.
Katie had kind of always known it was going to come down to that.
Absolutely.
So she stormed down the stairs. She was saying that she had Ellie in front of her, sort of clearing the way out of the quarry, and just getting people out of the way, because Katie knew she could run down. Hopefully, she thought she might be able to run downhill faster than Fiona, but she always knew that on the flats, Fiona was going to have the legs, and so it was really all coming down to that, wasn't it? So she was basically.
It's interesting too, because we had some expert backseat commentary going on. Craig Kirkwood turned up to watch some of his athletes, and that was really lovely, you know, like amazing coach. And we were saying, can Fiona do it? You know, it's 6K, it's, you know, 6 minutes. And Craig's like, nope. And we're like, hey, we're trying to build some narrative tension here, man. Like, I'll coach your athletes to a Olympic qualifier. You do the commentary, mate. You know, it's a bit of banter. But Fiona, when they got to Hatupatu Road, which is one of the last paved you know, they could see each other.
Wow.
So Fiona could see Ellie, and my goodness, when Katie crossed the finish line, one of the things, those of you who know Katie Wright, have seen Katie Wright speak, or she's an incredibly composed, she's reserved, you know, she's warm, she's funny, she's smart, she's reserved.
She's a doctor.
She's a doctor. She went to pieces when she crossed the finish line, but not in a sort of a weeping way. Is this a sort of primal? She was rolling around on the ground, just screaming. She couldn't talk. She was hyperventilating. It was absolutely the most incredible thing. And then Fiona turns up. Katie's still on the floor when Fiona turns up. You know, I think Katie was trying to get up to welcome her, because she said, where's Fiona? Where is she? You know, she was trying to get up, and Fiona comes over. Anyone who knows Fiona Havice, she is so disciplined and so granular in her preparation and her approach to racing. There's never any flying blind for that woman, you know.
No.
And the graciousness, the
obviously she was gutted, but the respect, the graciousness, that just the camaraderie, you know, these two women have run together at Biggs, and I'm sure they will again, you know, and
and they just know how to push each other.
They know how to push each other. It was just one of the most fantastic things. And I gave the mic to Katie to try and, you know, get some words out of her, and she couldn't. And Fiona said, look, let me speak, and spoke not for her, but just gave this really stirring speech. It was fantastic.
Oh, wow. Wow, what a moment.
It was, and again, you know, like, we've been up for a long time, and there's a bit of everyone's in tears, you know. It was just magic.
Well, there was some audio with Katie after the race. You obviously did manage to speak eventually.
Yes.
And we have it here.
All right, I'm here with Katie Wright, winner of the 100 mile women's race. It came down to a pretty narrow finish. Were you running a bit scared in the last few Ks?
Oh gosh, the last like 30 Ks, since so fast. Halfway between Miller and Blue Lake, I think it probably was. And I was looking around constantly the entire way. I didn't realise quite how close she was, but I was running just as hard as I could. And knowing how close she was probably wouldn't have changed that. I was running as if she was right behind me, so which she was.
A bit different to how you ran the first parts of the race. The first 100K you said was the warm-up.
Yes, yeah, I was trying to be like, I knew that Fee was going to be quicker than me. On, like, she's a lot quicker on the, she's a road runner, she's on like really quick on the like flatter stuff in the road, in the middle section. So I was trying to not keep up with her, and just run my own race. And then these, I really like technical trail running, so I knew that as soon as I got to to outlet, that was where I could really kind of start putting the hammer down. And then when I picked Ellie up as my pacer, then I knew she should give me a kick up the bum. And so
awesome. Have you run a mile before?
I did Talavera as my first ever mile 2 years ago.
How's it coming back again and running again? Any different experience, same experience?
It all completely different. It was my first mile. I had no idea what to expect. I had like a 20 litre tramping bag, and all I wanted to do was run under 24 hours. And I didn't really know that running under 24 hours was actually quite a big thing until I kind of got here. So I think the kind of not knowing helped me a bit there, because I just had no expectation. Well, I was just like, oh yeah, under 24 hours is the type of thing you're supposed to do. So I just came in like 23:45 or something, whereas this time, like, I thought that sub 22 was definitely within my reach, and I'd kind of done the numbers for a sub 20 as a, like, if there was a bit of magic on the day. And my GPS actually completely malfunctioned, so I had absolutely no idea what I thought I was running. Well, I think I was running 6:30s to start off with, but like, yeah, I have like idea. I then looked at the map, the navigation, and it was in the lake, so I was running kind of blind for the entire entire race, which perhaps didn't hurt.
And then obviously took the win. What does that mean to you?
I still don't even know. It's just completely unexpected. But yeah, obviously is huge. Particularly coming back and like seeing the progression over 2 years, like, I'm just a much stronger athlete now than I was 2 years ago, and try and come back in 2 years time and see if I can take another, what, like 3 hours off.
Yeah, so you're pretty well known for your success in Biggs Backyard and the Relapse Ultra. How do you compare running the miler today to running those kind of races?
It's just completely different, eh? Like, I don't think I've ever run a race as a race, like, and I knew that Fee's a really experienced competitive runner, like, she's got a competitive head, and I mean Backyard is competitive, but it's not like, it's not really a race.
Yeah,
in the
like,
same
just who keeps standing up.
Exactly, and that's a very different mentality. So that was kind of, yeah, it was neat actually, like, to be, it is literally the first race I've ever actually had a race with someone, which I can see why people enjoy it.
Yeah. And then have you got any other goals for 2021? Any other things that you're going to tick off?
So many.
anything in particular?
I mean, most of the year is going to be spent in preparing for Revenant next year. I feel like I kind of held back a bit this year. So I did Revenant the longest kind of Rogaine 4 weeks ago, and I knew I had this coming up, and I knew I wanted to do well. And so even though, I mean, I tried as hard as I could, but I think that mentally it was kind of on the back burner, so I've got a score to settle with Revenant, so a lot of training towards that, but hopefully I'll get over to Tennessee for October.
Cool.
So that'll be a big one, and then I'm hoping to do my first ever track event with Fee. So we've got some plans in place. If we can sort out funding and get an event together, then hopefully we'll have 48 hours on the track together.
Yeah.
We seem to be a pretty good team to get each other going. So
just for the reference, what's the 48 hour mark you're looking to break?
So respectively the Kiwi and UK records, which I've looked at about 1,000 times, but I keep looking at in kilometres and miles and each one, and the numbers just will not come to me right now. Right. I have to Google it every time.
I don't blame you. Awesome. That's...
Okay, so the men's race. You can't talk about it without saying hats off to one of Craig Kirkwood's, the aforementioned athletes.
Absolutely.
Carl Reed, you know. The Ironman champion, two-time Ultraman champ. He came to Tarawera last year, chased Vlad Shatrov and blew up at Okhotina and had to pull the pin. This year, he trained his butt off, didn't he? Unbelievable. Absolutely. He just learnt some lessons, worked with Craig on getting his nutrition, his hydration right. I saw him talking about how he needed to figure out how to get that pace right through aid stations. You know, you can't afford to just fly through like an Ironman transition. You've got to make sure you've got what you need. And he returned for some redemption, didn't he?
And seeing him on the start line, you know, he looked deadly. He was focused. He looked calm. Mm. He was in incredible shape. You know, and he cuts a striking figure too. You know,
oh yeah,
he's covered in tattoos. He's got, you know, the whole side of his head tattooed as well. Like the man is.
Yep. He's got the mullet.
He's got a mullet and just deadly and. Mm. You know,
and he went hard again. You know, he went hard again, but just once again, second year in a row, his body shut down. You cannot say that he doesn't leave everything out there. You know, he left Orkutina saying that he was feeling well, and then he got to 126. He wasn't feeling well. We were getting word he was not feeling well, and then when he got to 126 kilometers at the top of the climb, the medic station there, Nick noticed that Carl was wobbling and checked him out and said, "No, sorry, pal, your day's over." And he was gutted, as you can imagine. You know, second year in a row that he's had to pull out. But, you know, meanwhile, Matt Urbanski, so he DNF'd last year too.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was, you know, he was here to do the race, and then he was planning to go home to Boulder, Colorado. But what with one thing and another, he ended up staying here the whole time. Interestingly, if you put Matt Urbanski and Dave Jack, our friend, together, Dave Jack looks like he could be Matt Urbanski's stunt double.
Really?
They are so similar. Like, Matt's...
Has he got any Florida connections?
Oh, it's a very good-natured American connection. Absolutely. They look quite similar as well. Yep. But anyway, I thought that was really... That was things you pick up, you know? He was after redemption as well, and he got a big time, you know? He had one of those dream days. He was patient. He had the sounds on. He just listened to music, and he came back and he won his 15th 100-mile race.
I don't think that means he won his. I wrote that very clumsily. I think he's done 15 hundred mile races.
So this man has run 15 hundred mile races.
He's not chasing Carl. Carl, 100 miles is not that far.
Oh, Carl Meltzer, and he's lying. It's a long way.
That's right, I know. Hasn't he famously won more? He's definitely won more 100-mile races than anyone else, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Anyway, sorry, far out. We see we digressive. We did warn you. So, Matt, yeah, their return flight was cancelled due to the pandemic. So it all worked out well. He got to come home and he got that redemption that he sought. So he won an 1804-34. So he finished on Saturday.
Incredible.
Yep, with Doug Moore second in 1911-33. And Lewis Schindler, Revenant finisher.
Third place in 1942-54 at prize giving. It was incredible. Like, Matt jumped up onto the stage. Dougie kind of he needed a hand up, but Lewis leapt up onto the stage, like just sprung up. Like,
really?
He was incredible. Just amazing.
And holy moly.
Yeah. I mean, I got some audio with Matt after the race.
Sorry, not your audio. You did get some audio after the race. You did, but that's not what we're about to play. We're about to play some other audio with Matt after the race.
Cool, so winner today of a 100-mile race, first across the line. How did it go out for you up there? How did the race pan out across the day?
It was a great feeling to get it done, and everything just went smoothly all day. My motto is be patient, and there's the section between 93K and like the top of that climb after Okataina. Like, it's just slow and technical, and I just took my time, and then I had legs for the big climb, like the climbs and stuff later on. So that worked out well, and then I just had this like feeling of gratitude all day. I was really thankful.
Yeah,
the people were great. I had some songs in my playlist that just had me like feeling good about life. And
yeah, one of the team said you were singing a song as you left. Oh
man, I feel bad for him. I have terrible singing, but I was just in a groove and feeling good. And you know, normally in 100 milers, I feel like you can have really high highs and low lows, and I didn't really have any low lows. I just was steady all day. So yeah, it was awesome.
Cool. Yeah. You DNF'd this race last year. You're back again. You stayed in New Zealand almost just to run this race again.
It feels like fate, even though I don't. Yeah, it felt like it.
Yeah. How does it feel to come back and finally conquer it?
Oh, I wasn't in shape last year. I was injured. I just wanted to try, and then I got excited last year. I was like moving up into the top 10, and I just ran like an idiot. And this year, I'm fit. I was ready, and had a good plan. And yeah, it feels good to just. Out of the two different races 100 milers I've ever DNF'd, I've been able to go back and get it done. So the odds of me ever coming back to do this one again were really low after I DNF'd last year. So it feels pretty crazy that I actually got to do it again. Also, when no one is allowed in New Zealand.
Yeah. this is your 15th finish miler.
Yeah.
How does it stack up against the other ones that you've run?
In what way?
Overall experience, awesomeness. Toughness.
Yeah. It wasn't the fastest one. It wasn't the slowest one. I managed a couple others probably a little bit better, but this was right up there with some of the better ones I've done. It was a pretty course. I love some of the sections along the lakes, even though they were slow. I love the forest part where it was smooth dirt roads.
Yeah.
It's a course that's really built for me. I'm good at like smoother, faster trails. The technical stuff I'm not very good at, so I was glad there was less technical and more smooth. So yeah.
And then you said you're heading back to the States shortly?
No.
They're staying around.
They're sort of pushing the tourist out, I think. I think that's the general consensus.
Right.
And so, unless something happens in Sydney in the next 4 days. On Tuesday we fly to Sydney.
Right, any plans to run any more races? Or
I don't know, when I was talking, maybe it was Tim or Paul, someone was talking about UTA, so yeah. We'll see.
UTA 100 maybe in May?
If it's an option and my wife gives me the stamp of approval, then maybe, but as of now, I don't really know. I'm happy to just chill out.
Awesome, alright, well thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your help, man.
Okay, so the elites are one part of Tarawera, but really, you know, the emotion, you know, you just see so many everyday runners pulling off dreams that they dared to chase. And it's extraordinary, especially as the clock really ticks down to that 36-hour cutoff, doesn't it?
I felt frightened. And I felt frightened I felt hopeful. I felt excited. I felt keenly interested. I felt frightened at that point for the runners, but also for, could I handle what was going to happen in the next hour? Was I going to be able to stand up and hold that space for these people? Because, oh my goodness, it was just, it was beautiful. It was just
intense. And intense and tense. And there was a massive crowd, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paura Haruharu from Pairoa.
Legend.
How do you do something hard and then you make it harder by a factor of several degrees? And then you go, you know what, let's just...
That's not quite hard enough.
Let's turn the hardness knob up to 11 and just like snap it off. This legend decided he'd put some meaning into the race. He wanted to raise money for the Huntley Team Little Big Bots, which encourages healthy lifestyles, or not healthy lifestyles, kids getting fit, kids getting moving. It's an amazing cause, and we'll put the link to his fundraiser in our show notes.
Yeah.
This man did this race in gumboots. So literal
degree of difficulty.
Literal gumboots. And he stopped every kilometre for 160 kilometres and did 10 burpees. So he did 10 burpees on the Western Okataina walkway. He did 10 burpees on the Eastern Okataina walkway. He did 10 burpees on Tokorangi Pa Road. He would have done 10 burpees on that boiling hot piece of asphalt outside of Rerewhikaitu.
He did unbelievable.
10 burpees at the finish.
At the finish. And like when he did his burpees at the finish, I thought, okay, man, he must be exhausted. He's run for almost 36 hours. He's done 1,600 plus burpees. He's been in gumboots. These are going to be pretty tired burpees. No way.
He bit Kerry and I.
It was amazing. It was just like he'd just turned up.
It was insane. Kerry and I were looking at each other like, okay, well, we'll just fake the bit. And his whānau came down and did this incredible haka.
Yeah.
At the finish line, as he was coming up the chute, he was, you know, he was getting a lot of aroha from the crowd, and he was talking to people, shaking hands. Then he stops before the finish line, so he hasn't crossed the finish line. He's like a foot's width away from the finish line, and he breaks out into the same haka back at his family. Which, for those who don't know, it's not an aggressive thing. You know, it can be used very as a supportive, respectful, you know, it's a way to show you respect.
Respect, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so absolutely. He breaks into the same haka to his family, and they sync up at the end. It was just, oh my, the air was electric.
Yeah. It really was. It really, really was. And with them were some of these kids from, you know, from this group who ran the last 6K with them.
And his mum ran the last 6K with them.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a real moment of, this is what Tarawera is all about.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of those, but it was a real, real moment, and I was glad that I stuck around for it. Another was Adrian Henry coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the star of Chasing Painamu, which, if you haven't watched, we'll put a link in our show notes.
Yeah.
Aaron Smart's movie. But so Adrian had DNF'd. And then he came back and he finally was chasing Painamu, one of the Painamu, the talkie that you earn if you complete the 100-mile race. He got there 2 years ago. Then he came back last year and had another heartbreaking DNF. But this year, 8 minutes to spare, boom, he amazing. Comes across the line. Amazing. And it was, again, just, it was almost like a whisper went through the crowd. It's Adrian, it's Adrian, it's Adrian, as he approached.
Yeah.
Yeah, astonishing. Huge respect to that man.
And then at that point, what we did is Ali and Kerry and I went out into the finishing chute. And it was strange, having been there for that long, I hadn't actually stepped foot over the finish line.
Yep.
Once. I did it once. Yep. But then walked right out, and the crowd were amping, and we were trying to get the crowd as sort of fired up as possible, because we knew that there were, by that time, there were two people left. On
the course.
On the course. And the last official finisher was Alison Slack, who, my goodness, you talk about grit and determination. She came through. I mean, she was bent over in, it looked like multiple directions. She was sort of bent over forwards and bent over to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
And just gutting it out. And for those of you who are concerned, you know, she did post to Facebook later that she was fine. She had a painful muscle spasm in her back and couldn't stand up. But once she got to the medical tent, you know, some electrolytes got some care into her. She was right as rain. And
yeah, yeah. But how easy would it have been for her to go, nah, not today?
So easy.
But instead, she just showed that determination, guts, and she got there ahead of the cutoff. Astonishing.
One of the things that they say at Tarawera is it's safety over stupidity. So Alison was obviously, she was right to finish.
Yes.
They will cut people, as heartbreaking as it is.
Yep.
And we saw that with Clive, but, and, you know, you had Tim Day, you had Jumbo Rich running out onto the course to bring Clive home. And, you know, Clive is one of the most fiercest advocates for Tarawera. He's run the race multiple times. I mean, the first time I met him was at a half marathon that Mike Tennant organized years ago when he was doing his 52 half marathons for hospice. And just got the trail running bug, you know, got down to a 3:30 marathon, off-road marathon, and just turns up every year. He's finished the 100-miler. He's DNF'd the 100-miler, and at this time it was he didn't quite get there. He was just 5 minutes over.
Yeah, just outside the cutoff, and you know, his team had worked hard to try and get him home, hadn't they? Pushing him, encouraging him as much as they could, but just wasn't quite the day to get there under 36 hours. But Clive, man, you'll be back. We know it.
Absolutely. And he got a massive amount of respect.
Oh, totally.
And totally. And walked it in.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Got a huge, you know, amount of love from the crowd. Yeah. But look, before we wrap up, we'd better say like a shout out to the medical staff out there all weekend, both at the finish line and at the aid stations and on course. You know, you do an amazing, amazing job.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Then the volunteers, more than 600 people who stood, and there was stinking hot on Saturday.
Yeah.
And yet so many people stood there, marshals, aid stations, doing all sorts of jobs that you don't even see. Absolutely extraordinary. And the staff, you know, we were lucky enough to meet a bunch of them this year, Matt. And honestly, it was such a pleasure.
And I guess that's the thing. You know, I know that when Ironman, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting Dave Beach. I had the pleasure of meeting the traffic people. I had the pleasure of meeting. And there was a lot of, there's a bit of shit got talked when Ironman took over. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, having stayed in a house with some of these guys for that, they are frothing. They are passionate. They are getting 1 or 2 hours sleep a night. They are heaving it. They are just so committed to this race. And it's they love it. And, you know, absolutely. They really, really love it. Have we got anything more to say?
I think that's about it, isn't it? I mean, you know, just nothing more than congratulations to everyone who lined up. You know, whether you made it or you didn't, if this year wasn't your year, you know, that's just the way it is. Don't beat yourself up over it. You will learn from it. It's, you know, doesn't change who you are.
In fact, it adds to who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it will inspire you. You know, I had a message back and forth with Carl Reed this afternoon, which I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but I just said, I'm actually fearful for next year in terms of this is going to fire you up.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business. Yeah. The trick is going to be learning how to bottle that and contain it and send it in the right direction. So, look, thank you so much to everyone we caught up with. Thank you so much to, you know, to the Ironman people for having us down there in terms of, you know, being on the start line. And then thank you. I just want to say a massive thank you to Gene Andrews for having me along as his pacer. And then, you know, we joined up with Smudge and with Saywan. It was an absolute honor to run those last 45 kilometers with you warriors. I really, really enjoyed it. I loved it. It was tough. And I just watched humanity at its, you know, man, you guys just guts it out. And I just absolutely so proud of you all for making it. Look, fingers crossed for Old Ghost, Shot Over Moonlight Marathon, Riv Ram, and all the events on over the next few weeks. You know, let's kick COVID's backside again, eh? So don't forget, you know, scan everywhere you are, use those codes, QR codes, clean your hands, don't go anywhere if you're sick, and get yourself tested if you
wear
are,
a mask.
Please. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. Know? Follow the rules, please. We just want to get rid of this thing, don't we?
Absolutely. I'm done right. with it.
I am done with it.
So you can find us on all the podcast platforms. Please like and subscribe if you fancy, and you can download direct from our website, which is dirtchurchradio.com. You write in with your greatest run ever. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sure there's a few banging around from this week.
Bound to be.
And you can read them on the website too. Sometimes if we abridge them for length, but the full unfettered access on our website.
In all their glory.
In all their glory. Thanks to our sponsors, yep. Scott Running, Further Faster, Spring Energy, and Cieli. Thank you to our Patreon patrons, and thank you to Wild Things. Thank you to our editor, Kieran, and we've got a great show lined up for you next week. So tune in then. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Thanks, Rigby.